You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing in what is the quietest day of the summer. Although, we've got a couple of games on the board, and don't think that we don't have a couple of picks for you. The NBA Summer League continues, and they're into their playoff bracket in the Vegas Summer League. We're going to hold off. We'll get back on the Summer League train tomorrow. It's basically all the winless Summer League teams playing today. We can throw darts at the board, but I see a couple of spots I think we can cash, and I think we can go 2-1. Maybe 3-0 on the program today. Mark Lawrence is going to join us. Playbook.com's Mark Lawrence throws it down. We continue our college of football conference by conference previews. We're on to the Conference USA on today's program. And the Conference USA has been a profitable conference over the last couple of years. And we'll explain why and how. They're actually producing NFL players as well. 9 players taken from the CUSA in this past NFL draft. So we talk Conference USA football with Mark Lawrence and whatever else is on Mark Lawrence's mind. We're talking basketball. Pete Annapolis going to step up and in. As Pete's one of the few guys that I know, along with Coach Nick, but Coach Nick's actually in Vegas right now. He's soaking up all these basketball games, and rightfully so. The NBA Summer League is a great time. But Pete Annapolis is on top of it enough that we can break down what's going on in the Summer League, players that are standing out, and it'll get you ready for the fantasy basketball season. It feels like basketball is right around the corner right now. Football rapidly approaching. NFL preseason football kicks off in 22 days. We continue our team-by-team NFL previews today, but not on Game Time Decisions. We're shaking things up. On Morenci Unfiltered this evening, we'll talk some Washington Redskins. Football. Talking Redskin football tonight. We're talking a little baseball. Little baseball. Tim Raines going into the Hall of Fame, and Rob Manfred during the State of the Union address, the commissioner at the All-Star game, talked about expansion, and Montreal was at the front of the list. Anakin Slade. Dude's an actor. He's a musician. He's also a huge-ass Expos fan. He's had some success. He's sort of become like sort of like a sports rapper in the sense. You know, he's got a lot of sports-themed tunes, and he's got a tune that's in that show, Letterkenny, right now that I never watch, that seems to be pretty popular. Maybe I'd watch it, but the ads are too freaking annoying. But that's besides the point. Anakin Slade joins us on the show today. So like I said, it's kind of, it's one of those days, man, today. I told you earlier in the week, you're going to find out how much of a degenerate gambler you actually are. Are you willing to bet on the WNBA? That's the, you got NBA Summer League. Pick your poison. Would you rather bet on an NBA Summer League game or a WNBA game? In my case tonight, WNBA. Only because the Phoenix Mercury are hot right now. Brittany Griner's lighting it up in the WNBA. And we've got some Gold Cup soccer. You know what? You know, what's wrong with a little Nicaragua and Panama on a Wednesday night? So that's where we're at. Baseball doesn't come back until Friday, man. And it's funny because you think, oh, all there is baseball. When's football getting here? And then suddenly baseball's gone. It's actually the minor league all-star game. And I was thinking about giving you a pick and telling you to take the Pacific Coast League against the International League, but that's even a little bit too degenerate even for me. Even for me. So another Midsummer Classic is in the books. And once again, baseball shows us why. They have the best all-star game out of all the professional sports. Although I will say NASCAR is gaining ground. And NASCAR is not gaining ground on the all-star game, the Midsummer Classic. But compared to the rest of the shams that are all-star games. You know, the reason why the baseball all-star game is so good, the players care. And we saw that last night. It was an intense baseball game, man. It was an intense game, and you can see the frustration of players that weren't getting it done. You can see the frustration of the pitchers throughout the baseball game. And it's really interesting because, of course, home field advantage in the World Series has been at stake for the last 14 years, ever since the tie in 2002. Well, they took that away last night. It didn't matter. And it's funny because I hated that whole concept. I thought it was ridiculously stupid. But with time, it grew on me. So last night when it was 1-1, I was thinking, man, it'd be really cool if home field advantage in the World Series was at stake. What was also really cool is the fact that the game stayed way under the number. And we told you guys this. Going back to 2005, man, they've averaged 6.5 runs a game in the All-Star game. And, yeah, you got all these big bats and all these big boppers, but you also have pitchers that are revving it up and throwing 100 miles an hour. They don't have to pace themselves. You know, once in a while, if you make contact, the ball is going to go over the wall like it did for Robinson Cano in the 10th inning, and the American League wins again. So I was smart to take the under. And I was smart to cash out the under in the middle of the game and bet the in-game under 4.5 as well. But I'm a stupid idiot for betting on the National League. I always tell everybody, if it keeps on coming up red at the roulette wheel, keep on betting on red. Don't bet on black. And it keeps on coming up American League. You know, they're 16-3-1 in the last 20. And last night, you know, I got a feeling the National League. I'm like Krusty the Clown. I thought they were due. And you know what? They had a million chances to win the game. They didn't. So now the American League is now 17-3-1 with that one tie in 2002 in the Major League Baseball All-Star Games over the last 21 years. This is getting pretty crazy, man. This literally is like Washington General Harlem Globetrotter type of stuff right now. You know, at this point, like, you know, you got to be stupid like Morency or Krusty the Clown to bet on the National League at this point in time. One thing that I noticed about the All-Star game last night is, unless I missed them, where the hell was Marlins fan? Marlins fans at every other big event, it's in his backyard, and I don't see him behind home plate unless I missed him. And I think I would have saw him because there were a hell of a lot of empty seats behind home plate. How pathetic, Miami. You guys are in a freaking All-Star game. If you don't want the All-Star game, you don't want to go to the All-Star game, don't host the All-Star game. You know, you got a 1-1 All-Star game, and these clowns are leaving the stadium. It's freaking ridiculous. But it just proves the point. Miami's not a good sports town. Even when LeBron James and the Heat were winning, they had a hard time selling out games. Fans would show up late. It was just sort of an apathetic atmosphere. The Miami Dolphins haven't sold out a football game since, like, Dan Marino was the quarterback, and I'm not even sure they sold out then. The Miami Hurricanes, people are like, oh, no, they like college there. No, they don't. The Miami Hurricanes play in front of half-empty stadiums all the time. I know they're a little bit on the upswing now with Mark Richt, you know, that he took over last year, but generally, look at Miami, pretty crazy. Like, really, the most successful team in the last couple of years have been the Panthers. As crazy as that sounds, I don't know how, but it is. I remember when Oklahoma played Clemson in the semifinal college playoffs 2 years ago. They played on New Year's Eve evening or whatever, 4:30, whatever the hell it was, when it kicked off. Tickets were going for like $40 on the street in Miami, all right? Tickets to the Montreal Canadiens and the Panther game were going for like $200. I saw a national championship game in Miami years ago, and it was a big deal. Sam Bradford in Oklahoma against Tim Tebow in Florida. Oklahoma Sooners, Florida Gators, Tim Tebow, you had the two Heisman winners playing against each other in the national championship game. I was in a parking lot before the game. Tickets were going for $10. All right. There are a ton of empty seats. It's just proven. The only thing worse than as far as Miami being a sports city is their owner of the baseball team. Somebody that I coined, Jeffrey Loria. I should trademark this, but I'm the one that came up with the Low Life Loria thing years ago. And I've been covering this guy a long time. All right. I know Jeffrey Loria and how he operates, and the guy's a scumbag. All right. He's a great con man. I mean, he might be the next president after Trump. Like, this guy can fleece anybody, and he does consistently. And now he's fleecing season ticket holders. So there's an old man. It's an old man, 75-year-old guy in Florida. He's a season ticket holder. He got sick of the Marlins crap, so he goes, I want out. And I guess Loria and the Marlins promised all these other perks. You know, rich guy perks, season ticket holder perks and all this. They didn't deliver. So the guy canceled his season tickets. You know, the Marlins sue him, sort of like when you cancel your phone contract or something. But not only are they suing him, they sued him for like $92,000. And then on top of that, since the guy doesn't want to pay, now they're seizing his house. Like, Jeffrey Loria literally is going to seize a 75-year-old man's house, a $720,000 house, and the state of Florida is going along with this. And I talk about the sports fans in Miami. The only thing goofier than them is the actual entire state of Florida as a whole. The same state that somehow said that Casey Anthony didn't kill her baby. The same state that somehow said that George Zimmerman was an innocent man. You guys are whacked. Anytime you see, some guy high on bath salts, tries to eat somebody on the street, Florida. Anytime you see, you know, trailer park shooting, you know, daughter shoots mom and boyfriend in the middle of sexual act, Florida. You know, we can go down the list. Anytime there's any stupid case and they get set free, Florida, 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 Florida. As you know, Rob Manfred, you've done a great job as commissioner of Major League Baseball, although really next to Bud Selig, a dead monkey could do a better job. So it's kind of comparable. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, you're a great commissioner next to the last guy. Well, you know what? The last guy walked around with a dead raccoon on top of his head and called it a toupee. You know, so baseball's had black eyes before. But you know what, Manfred? You got to step up and shut down the lowlife, man. You can't have him seizing people's homes. But I guess, you know what? Why not look the other way? Everybody else does. Game Time Decisions continues.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. It is great to be alive. Better busy than dead, as they say. My grandfather used to tell me that all the time. Any day above ground is a good day. No matter how bad your day is, you could be buried. All right? That's the way of looking at things. Like I said, I'm all about Mr. Positive today. Hey, Rob Manfred's a great commissioner. Yeah, next to Bud Selig, he is. You know, I was talking about Florida being a bad sports state. And I shouldn't say that, actually. I should specifically say Miami. It's not the entire state. You can't say that they don't love FSU football in Tallahassee, right? Or that they don't love the Gators in Gainesville, obviously. But, you know, Miami specifically, I mean, the facts speak for themselves. And we're now joined by a man that knows the Miami market pretty well. Mark Lawrence, Playbook.com, joins us. What's going on, Mark?
I relate exactly what you're saying about Miami. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, moved down here 15 years ago, and everybody down here is from somewhere. Seems like nobody was ever born in Miami. They all come from somewhere, you know, destinations, Cuba, South America, wherever. And because of that, there's not a lot of local people here that get involved with the Miami teams, and the only way they come out is if they win. So they're very spoiled down here, to say the least.
Yeah, and I noticed just all the empty seats yesterday at the Marlins game. And listen, it was like a normal Marlins game. There were more empty seats than fans, but it's the All-Star game, Mark. It's 1-1, and it was like the seventh inning and stuff, and there's all these empty seats everywhere. And it's just like, wow. And I was thinking about, you know, the Dolphins never sell out. The Miami Heat, even when they were good, they had a hard time. And I brought it up off the intro of the show. Crazily enough, one of the hotter tickets in town is actually the hockey team, isn't it?
You know, I got to tell you this quick story here, real quick here, Gabe. When I moved down here 15 years ago, the Marlins had just beat the Indians to win the World Series. I was a Cleveland Indians series season ticket holder for many, many years. I applied for a Marlins season's ticket when I moved down here. I was sitting behind front row, row A, behind home plate, dead center, and the seats were $20 a piece.
It's unbelievable. I like that. The waiting list for the Marlins was 30 seconds, they called you back. Yeah, what do you need? What do you need?
If they called you back,
but that's amazing. So, yeah, that's crazy. It's funny, too, because you look at the prices in Cleveland, it was probably like $600-$700 to get into the game at that time. You go to the game in Florida, you know, for a hell of a lot cheaper.
Unbelievable. You know, the problem down here is you don't understand a lot of what's being said down here because of the international languages, per se, but... You know, I'm down here for the weather, and I love being down here. I just don't like going to the games. I'll watch them at home.
But it never worked, Mark. Like, they even said, okay, the other stadium, Joe Robbie, pro player, whatever you want to call it, it is in a bad neighborhood. And I've been around the block a couple of times, and that's pretty crazy, man. Like, it's you know, you don't want to be hanging around there. I get it. But then they're like, well, baseball, you know, we got to go to Little Cuba. So they go to Little Cuba. It doesn't matter where they go. It doesn't matter. I think, you know, and as you stated, Miami is actually the most multicultural city in the United States of America. And it's the most multicultural city by definition in North America, next to Toronto, actually, right there. But it's very Hispanic, right? So you get different countries and different cultures. I got to believe if Beckham ever gets his soccer thing together, that will be a success, Mark.
You wouldn't believe where they're going to build the stadium for Beckham's soccer team. It's in Overton. Overton is like East Compton, L.A. It's like the absolute worst ghetto in Miami, and yet they're going to put the stadium dead center in that city. I just can't believe what's going on with it. Why do they
always screw up, eh, in Florida? They just do. They just do. I don't know what it is. They just do. All right, so anyways, let's talk some Conference USA. You know, Conference USA is a fun football conference. Not only has it produced some good NFL players over the years, specifically this year, they had 9 players taken in this last NFL draft. But courtesy of Mark Lawrence's playbook, they are 22-11 straight up and 20-12-1 against the spread the last 6 years in bowl games. That's an impressive track record. You know, that's a nice feather in the cap right there. To say, look, when we match up with other teams in bowl games, we don't just cover, we win football games.
That's a real feather in the cap for this Conference USA. There's a lot of teams in the conference. They do fill a lot of bowl spots, but they come to play the bowl games, as you mentioned. They win 67% of the time. No other conference has a better straight-up record than does the Conference USA in bowl games the last 6 years. So there's a lot of talent here. This is like triple A to Major League Baseball, this conference. They're right behind the AAC.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark, there's some high-profile coaches in this conference this year. Now, finding win totals, you know, for the Conference USA isn't the easiest thing to do, you know. But, you know, I got these numbers courtesy of the South Point, so they exist. They're at the South Point, so they're in Vegas. And I actually love some of these regular season win totals, Mark, in the Conference USA. I had to do a double and triple check, because let's start off with Florida Atlantic here. So they bring in Lane Kiffin, and I see a win total of 4. I'm like, it can't really be 4. I don't trust this website. So, you know, I'm poking around. I finally find South Point. They're the only ones that release win totals for every team, 130 teams. So I find it, and it really is 4. So listen, FAU, they're not the class of this conference, but let's start out with them because they bring in Lane Kiffin. They bring in Kendall Briles to take over as the offensive coordinator. DeAndre Johnson takes over at quarterback, FSU transfer. Like, these guys are like a walking violation, Mark. What more? You have Lane Kiffin. You got Briles, who left because of sexual stuff at Baylor. You get your quarterback left Florida State because of a sexual accusation. Like, I got to tell you, you know, this isn't going to be a very popular team with the campus protest groups. I got to tell you.
No, it's not. The quarterback coach is Clint Trickett. We don't know what he did wrong at West Virginia when he was there.
Kiffin brought in they're loaded as well. And Kiffin even got one of his brothers to come in, right? There's another one of these guys from Ole Miss.
Exactly. So, you know, it's only a pit stop in my mind for Lane Kiffin being here. He'll be at another bigger school here probably in 2 or 3 years. He just wants to get back into the head coaching ranks, rolling up his sleeves. He's got a lot of talent at hand here. As you mentioned here, all these underclassmen played last year. 2 years ago, they played more freshmen, true freshmen, starters than any team in the country did. So this football team, I think, is really hidden. I'm with you. I think this 4 total is a very soft total here. I love this total to go over 4 as well.
Yeah, and, you know, DeAndre Johnson, listen, if we're going to start judging everybody's character, and I don't know anything about the kid. Yeah, I don't know if he's a good kid or a bad kid. There was accusations. He left the school, what have you. It is what it is. But with that being stated, he is an elite talent, Mark. He's an elite talent playing against, you know, I'm not going to say subpar competition, but he's playing against lower level competition than it's probably his skill set is accustomed to.
Well, he was a 4-star recruit at Florida State. That tells you all you need to know as far as the talent level goes with him. The question is, can he stay clean off the field and be ready to play football on Saturday here? It's going to be interesting because if something happens with him, they've got Jason Driscoll, the backup quarterback, who's not a bad quarterback. He's from that Driscoll family of quarterbacks in the state of Florida. So they're going to be pretty well set, I think, at the quarterback position here. And remember this. Remember when Kiffin came here, he signed a 13-year-old high school kid from California to a scholarship at Florida Atlantic. So he believes in his quarterbacks, you know, whether they're good or right or wrong on the off the field. At least he has some talented quarterbacks that'll be on the field with him this year.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was talking about this on the show a couple of weeks ago, Mark. Nevada offered a scholarship to an 8-year-old. No joke. There's an 8-year-old kid in Compton in L.A.
Unbelievable.
And he's lighting it up. He's killing it. And he's lighting it up. So Nevada offered him a scholarship already. So you mentioned it. 68 underclassmen played last year. And I wonder, too, because you look at Kiffin, and it was weird circumstances. You know, there was no problems at Alabama. He did a hell of a job. And then, boom, you know, right before the championship game, he's out. Scarsesian is in. And I just found it strange because Kiffin did rehabilitate his image, and I figured there'd be a bigger program. I thought he could sort of get a better spot than Boca Raton. But you just named it, Mark. I mean, it's a pit stop for him. And, you know, he's not dumb. He's looking at the rosters. He's looking at the talent. He's looking at the competition that he's playing against. Kiffin doesn't take this job if he thinks he's going 5-7. Kiffin thinks he can win some football games here.
I think he can win his division here personally this year. And, you know, they're going to open up with Navy, their first game of the football season here. I think it's an ideal spot for Florida State in the Navy football game. They're a double-digit home underdog, taking 13.5 as I'm speaking to you right now. They're going to come to win this football game, not just hang the number here. This is a real hidden sleeper football team. Lane Kiffin came in here for a purpose, and there's a message he'll want to deliver here. I look for a big impact by the Owls this football season.
Yeah, they open up against Navy. Then they got to go to Madison to play the Badgers. You know, they got to get money to pay these salaries, so they're going to go to Wisconsin to do that. But after that, Mark, I'm seeing 7 or 8 winnable football games for the Owls. Like, literally, no exaggeration. I see 7, 8 games that they can potentially win. On their schedule, that they can go on the field and say, you know what? We expect to win this game 7 or 8 times. We don't need to get to 7 or 8. I just need to get to 5. I love the over 4.
Well, all he's playing for, Lane Kiffin, is basically, let's get this team to a bowl this first season here. That's 6 wins. 6 wins cashes that ticket. He gets to a bowl. He's happy. The fans are happy. And we're happy because we bet them.
All right. You know what's kind of lost in Lane Kiffin is over at Florida International. They got a pretty good coach coming in here, too. And how good is Butch Davis? Well, he's so good, he led the Cleveland Browns to the playoffs, Mark. I don't have to tell you, being a Brown fan. Remember the old Kelly Holcomb? Kelly Holcomb, was it 2002? Browns and made it to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a great hire, Butch Davis here. Imagine that South Florida here right now brings in Lane Kiffin and Butch Davis in this first year for each coach at each program here, where Kiffin's excited to be there. Butch Davis is thrilled to be back into coaching. He wants nothing more than to be a college football coach, and he'll be happy to retire at Florida International. He's a Florida guy. He's experienced. He's got a ton of recruits, connections down here. He was maybe even a better hire than was Lane Kiffin at FIU. Butch Davis is this particular football season here. I think he was maybe going to be one of the best unsung hires in college football this year.
What did you write in the playbook, Mark? Is there 15 schools? 15 schools within 40 miles of them to get players from?
That's exactly right. You know, so you got 15 high schools that half of which almost always compete for the state championship. So there's a lot of talent bred down here in football in the state of Florida. 15 high schools within his driving range. So he's going to, you know, he'll battle, obviously, Lane Kiffin for those players here. But he's got a lot of connections, and I think he's going to do a heck of a job recruiting.
And they're also pretty loaded. They get 85% of their production back on both sides of the football. The schedule is very manageable. They open up at UCF. They're at Indiana, but other than that, they're at FAU. They host Western Kentucky. Their win total is 4.5. They're big long shots to win a conference at plus 2,500, but their win total is only 4.5. And conversely, I look at their schedule. I see 6, 7 winnable football games here, Mark. I think they can get to 5, 6 wins.
I think they can, too. I think these are the two best totals in the conference, playing both Atlantic and International over. In fact, I call them fit and fat, Florida International, Florida Atlantic, fit and fat. So if I play them right, I'll be fit, and if we cash those tickets, I'll be fat.
I can't believe it. I'm such an idiot. I got a lot on my mind, Mark. I got a Florida Atlantic jersey. I was going to wear it today.
Oh.
I've got an FAU jersey. What am I thinking? We're doing Conference USA. Some kids on the team were fans of mine. They used to listen to the show all the time, and they gave me a jersey, actually. You know, I even had Coach Schlellenberger on the program before. So, you know, that's my team in this conference, FAU.
You know, there's a horse trainer in Philadelphia that's a big fan of mine, gets my magazine and reads it every year. I see him at the racetrack a lot. Every time I see him, he's wearing a uniform, a jersey. I ask him what it's all about, and he says, it's simple, man. That's who I'm betting on today. I'm wearing their jersey.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So I like FIU to go over the win total. It's only 4.5. All right, let's talk about the class of the conference right now. the Hilltoppers. The Hilltoppers are the conference favorites. They're plus 200. Their win total is 9.5. It's an annual thing at Western Kentucky where they lose their coach to a big-time program. Jeff Brohm's gone to Purdue. They lost Bobby Petrino. They lost Willie Taggart, but it just keeps on rolling right now. Mike Sanford, of course, longtime coach. Mike Sanford Jr. Takes over. Great. He's been a highly sought-after offensive coordinator. He's been groomed to be in this. He's been groomed for this his entire life. He's got his quarterback back with Mike White. High-scoring offense. These guys light it up. Their defense actually was pretty good against the run, too. The defense isn't terrible for like a run-and-gun shoot type of style of football team. The thing is, Mark, and you wrote about these guys, they've gone over their season win total 5 consecutive years, but have the lines makers caught up, Mark? 9.5, it's pretty high. We got to win 10 games.
Yeah, it's all about value, Gabe, and you're talking about a Western Kentucky team that's caught everybody's attention, and because they have, we're looking at a big 9.5 win total. That's a big number, because for you to cash that ticket, they have to win 10 of their 12 football games this year. That could be a tall, tall task. I think that number is a little bit steep. I do think Sanford's going to be a good hire for this team. I think they'll win 8 or 9 games possibly this season here, but 10's too many. I'll play under the 9.5.
Yeah, I think, you know, they can win the conference. That could happen, but you know, they're at Marshall, they're at Illinois, they're at Vanderbilt, they're at FIU. It's a lot of tough road games. It could be tough for them to get to 10 wins. All right, we've only got a minute left, unfortunately. But how about Louisiana Tech? They've been on the roll the last 3 years, 3 straight bowl appearances. They play in the weaker West division of the Conference USA. They've lost a lot of weapons at the wide receiver position, and they lose their quarterback as well. But you know, they've got weapons in the backfield. They recruit well. I think Jamar Smith will be just fine at the quarterback position. And weeks 2, 3, and 4, really brutal on the schedule. They host Mississippi State. They're at Western Kentucky and the Gamecocks. After that, Mark, I think they could run the table, though.
They could possibly run the table there. This team was really beat up by graduation losses last year, so they're going to come back thin in the ranks. And as you mentioned here, games 2, 3, and 4 are going to be pivotal for this football team. If they can somehow win 2 of those 3 football games, and as dogs, and naturally I'll be on them with Skippy Holtz, his great record as a dog with Louisiana Tech here. I'll look at them as a dog, but I think they could come up just a little bit short this year, if for no other reason, fit and fat are going to be live in the conference this year.
Yeah, it's just a little too high, and we're getting the hook here, but I want to be really quick because I'm high on this team, and I know you are too. Texas San Antonio, plus 700 to win the conference, win total 6.5. 4 all-conference returners coming back. Number 1 ranked recruiting class in the conference. 6-7 team last year. They ended the season on a 5-1 ATS run. They opened up against the Cougars in the Alamo Dome, and then they go to Baylor in week 2. It would be massive for Frank Wilson to be able to bag one of these games. At FIU, at La Tech, schedule is manageable. I think this team goes over 6.5. They won 6 last year. I think they go bowling. They get to 7.
I do too, Gabe. They got a quarterback who was freshman of the year in that conference last year, Dalton Sturm. He's back as well. This is an ascending football team here. I think they can stay under the radar, sneak up on teams, and I think you'll cash that over ticket with them as well.
Roadrunners, I got to get to Vegas and over to South Point before kickoff because I can't find this stuff online. If I do, I'm going to hammer it, but I'll be in Vegas before kickoff. Always a pleasure, Mark.
And my pleasure, Gabe. I'll catch you next week. Be good.
There's a Mark Lawrence with his great stuff with Mark Lawrence. As always, Anakin Slade joins us next.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
You Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. I am Gabriel Morenci. Thanks to Mark Lawrence for joining us on the program. Let's send it to my hometown of Montreal. Rob Manfred was talking about Major League Baseball expansion. And, you know, there's no secret that they have to wait for the collective bargaining agreement, but the owners want money, right? And they've been stuck at 30 teams for a while. They're going to want to get to 32. And he said, listen, Montreal's at the front of the list. No doubt the mayor wants it. We want them to come back. You know, we basically need another city to be in the mix. Charlotte was brought up. He brought up Mexico City as well. But he also stated that they need the Oakland and Tampa situations to be resolved. And I'll tell you right now, the Athletics aren't going anywhere. They're losing the Raiders. They're losing the Warriors. They're not going to lose the Athletics as well. They'll have money to save the Athletics. And that whole Tampa Bay Ray thing, that stadium deal goes to like 2027 or something. All right, so that's a little ways away. But I am a belief that Montreal will get a baseball team. I said 2024, 2025, 2023, around then. I think it's going to happen. And we're now joined by a man who will be one of the reasons, actually, that it happens. He's been at the forefront of keeping the Expos, in the mainstream, getting younger music fans and other fans of his work to learn about the history of the Expos. We're now joined by Anakin Slade. What's going on, Anakin? How you doing?
I'm good, Gabe. How are you, man?
Hey, we're doing good. Congratulations on your success, Anakin. Every time I turn on the TV, I see you.
Thank you. I'm lucky that I've managed to get this music thing going and associated with the Expos. It's just been, I could have never imagined that it would happen like this. I did my original song as sort of like a eulogy, and it sort of turned into a rally song. And here we are all these years later, and we're actually talking about maybe getting a team back. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know what? And you've almost become, you're like sort of the, you know, you're the sports guy. You're the sports music guy in Montreal now. You know, your song about the Canadians was obviously a very, very big hit, the song of the Expos. But, you've had a lot of opportunities to showcase your skills. And I think the fans of these franchises embrace it. So it must be cool for you growing up as an Expo fan, growing up as a Hab fan, and now sort of being the voice of these teams.
It is cool. Like, music is obviously a tough business, and not many people are able to make a living out of it. And I managed to just kind of latch on to this sort of niche. And the way I see it is, like, I'm like a one-man genre. You know, how many people can say that basically their biggest hits are about sports teams, and not only one, but two? So, I could complain and say, oh, people don't listen to my other songs. They only listen to my sports songs. I'm also very lucky to have that and to be able to appeal to a certain market, and the people eat it up. And, you know, like I say, I'm very, very thankful of that.
Now, one thing, as you mentioned, your videos have been watched over 4 million times on YouTube. And you talked about how hard it is to make money, in the music business. You know, and I've been in the music business a long time. I was for a long time before. And, you know, there's pluses and there's minuses to the old system and a new system. The new system is you don't need a record label. You don't need a validation of some sleazeball in Hollywood for you to live your dreams. But conversely, it's hard to monetize. So, you know, even if you have 4 million views on YouTube, you know, some of your boys might think, oh man, Anakin, you must be really rich. You got four, you know, look at all the hits you have. You know, look at all the hits you have on YouTube. But hey, that doesn't mean you made $4 million, right?
No, it doesn't mean anything. In fact, only recently have they been able to really monetize that stuff in terms of YouTube and really, really see anything from it. And besides that, I'm using material that's pretty much copywritten. So I have to be very careful of what I put out there and you know, putting ads on my videos when I don't even own a lot of footage, you know. But the way, you know, you got to be your own manager, and you got to find different ways to make money in this industry. And, you know, streaming is something that has come on lately in the past, like, 3 or 4 years. It used to be, if you didn't sell iTunes MP3s, you're screwed. You're not getting any money. But now streaming has become so mainstream, excuse the pun, that it's like I'm actually seeing quite a bit of income through that. And then there's other ways, you know, like placement in TV and film. You get yourself with the right placement agent who puts you in these shows and
stuff
like that.
See, that's massive right there, isn't it? Because I saw, you know, I was watching that documentary, The 90s, on CNN the other day, and they were talking about Beavis and Butthead. and had an interview with Henry Rollins from Black Flag and the Rollins Band, etc. And he said, Matt, he goes, it's unbelievable. We'd appear on the Beavis and Butthead cartoon show. They'd play our video, and Beavis and Butthead would say, oh, this is cool, ha, 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 cool, cool. And then he goes, the next day, we get a huge spike. And I'm sure you see that. You know, maybe the average person that likes the TV show Letterkenny doesn't know anything about Anakin Slade, but he hears the song, and then suddenly he's listening to the rest of your songs, right? Did you get a big bump from being on the Letterkenny show?
Huge boost, and you'll see if you go on, the song's called Luckiest Man Alive, and basically every time the two hockey players are driving around in their Jeep, they're bumping Anakin Slade tunes, and one of them they're bumping is Luckiest Man Alive, and you'll see on the comment board on the YouTube video, Letterkenny brought me here.
Exactly.
You know, and Letterkenny quotes, and like people are dropping these quotes all, you know, so to have that association, you can't be this like one person machine. You have to associate yourself with other machines and other people who are doing stuff. It's sort of like a communal thing now with music. You can't just sit back and wait to sell records, you know, and sit in your ride and drive around town and expect people to, you know, just throw money at you. It's a constant business that you're running, and that's part of the joy of it. It's part of the fun.
You know, so you and I are both huge Expo fans, and not a day goes by that I don't get depressed or sad for a second about it, or a minute, sometimes longer. Actually, in fact, this Saturday on my podcast, I have Jeremy Taggart from Our Lady Peace coming on, who, of course, is the drummer on the song Innocence, right, that I used to play on the post-game show. And even when I go to Montreal, people tell me, whenever I hear that song, I almost cry, Morenci. I think of you and the Expos. And I told Taggart this, like the impact that it has. So all these years later, it's amazing. You know, and I had Tim Raines on recently. I've had a lot of Expos on recently. You know, the love that people feel, it's like an ex-girlfriend that we can't let go of or something. It's like, she's gone. She ain't coming back. It's like, she's coming back. Don't worry about it. And now it's like, you know, people in Montreal, we almost expect her to come back. And look, right now as you speak, you're at an exposition at City Hall about the Expos. There's two expositions in downtown Montreal right now about the damn Expos. The mayor wants it. I believe this is real, man. We just need Mitch Garber to spend the money.
Well, and that's the other thing. It's like, this is the first time we've had, you know, we've been hearing rumors for years of this person's going to throw in money, this corporation's going to throw in money. And like this past exhibition game when the Blue Jays came in, it was the first time guys like Steven Bronfman and Mitch Garber were coming out and basically saying, yeah, we've got the money.
Yeah.
We're ready. We're ready when you guys are, you know. So it's almost like we're in a position of advantage right now in a lot of ways because we're ready to go. Now we have to wait for Major League Baseball to make a move, like you were saying at the top of the segment. They got to decide whether they want this Tampa Bay drudgery to continue or, you know, just actually take the plunge and add two more teams. But it's quite clear that they're looking for a sister city. And that's one of the problems right now. Who's going to be that other city? And there's so many cities being thrown out there, and it's really hard to pin down who it's going to be. But the good news is we're clearly at the top of the list. If it does happen tomorrow, we're the go-to team. So, yeah, we're in this really absurd state situation where 5 years ago, people used to laugh at me when I would suggest that this was a baseball town and that one day we will get a team back. And there are a lot of guys, main guys in the media who are now who pretty much are banging the drum. They would look at me like, you're crazy. It's never going to happen. And now, all these years later, it looks like we're in a way better position than anyone would have ever thought.
I told people the last home game, I said, they'll be back. I said, they'll be back. But I said, we're going to have to wait. I said, I'll probably be in my 60s. So we're actually ahead of the curve, to be honest with you. So I'll take it.
You were ahead of everybody because I think you were probably the only person in the stadium who was actually thinking.
Well, you know what, Anakin, we saw. Your teams leave and they go back. The Cleveland Browns, Washington. You know, they don't have a ton of markets. And that's the thing. Like, you know, when they're talking, we need another market, they're almost begging for a market to step up. Charlotte's not going to happen, all right? They're not going to spend the money on that. You know, to me, Mexico City is maybe the possibility. Or in all actuality, when in doubt, go to Vegas, all right?
That's what I've been saying. I've definitely been saying Vegas. Now that L.A. is going there, or Oakland's going there, and of course the hockey team, I mean, it's only a matter of time.
They've got an NBA, they've got an NFL team, they have an NHL team. You don't think that, like, right now as we speak, some rich guys aren't saying, well, let's get an NBA team. And then the last one will be, well, we'll get a baseball team. I think it'll be Montreal and Vegas, Major League Baseball 2024. Anakin,
I think the same thing.
Congratulations on your success, continued success, and tell people about the trip to see Tim Raines at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, if you want to get down there, if you want to come to Cooperstown and share this moment, The Rock getting in, we got buses leaving from Montreal. We've already filled up two of them, so there's three more. Just go to exposnation.com. It's a really quick trip there and back, but you get to see the ceremony. You don't want to miss out on this. $65, really easy, in and out. So come on, join Expos Nation. We're going to be invading that place.
Yeah, we encourage people to keep the Expos alive by going to Cooperstown, and we wish Matt Ross the best of success. Matt does a great job with Expos Nation. Thanks for the time, Anakin.
Anytime, Gabe, and innocent all day. Every time I hear it, I think of you. So.
Always a pleasure, bro.
Absolutely.
There's Anakin Slade with us. Yeah, Innocent of Our Lady Peace became a very, very special song to a lot of people. All right, Peter Yiannopoulos joins us next. We talk basketball.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's talk some NBA Summer League. They're starting the playoff bracket today, tomorrow. It's the elimination rounds right now in the Summer League. We'll give you some picks as the tournament advances. And these kids want to win. The teams want to win. The NBA Summer League has been off the hook. Let's bring in Pete Yiannopoulos right now, former assistant with the UMass Minutemen, RDS at television. Pete, always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing great today, Gabe. How are you?
All right, Pete. So, you know, I saw a quote of Jay Williams earlier in the day, former Duke Blue Devil, I guess Chicago Bull briefly before he crashed the motorcycle. ESPN television analyst said that Lonzo Ball is going to revolutionize the game like Michael Jordan. And I'm thinking, you know, Jay, you must have gotten some real good legal weed there in Vegas, man. Because, you know, or worse, because I don't know. I've smoked weed before, and I don't think Lonzo Ball is the next Jordan. So, you know, I don't know what, I can't take him ever seriously again. But I don't want to spend our whole time on Lonzo Ball. But just the point is, he's exactly what I thought he was going to be. 7 of 28 from the field, horrible defense, couple of fancy passes and alley-oops, and 7 points and 7 assists. Good for you.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, what a polarizing player and mostly family member when we talk about Lonzo Ball. At least we're talking about him and less about his dad. But listen, you know, we saw what we've seen at UCLA. He's a guy that has good size, he's got good speed, he has tremendous IQ, and he facilitates and distributes for his teammates. He can make some nice passes, he can make some stable passes, and he can make some extraordinary passes. But at the end of the day, Ball doesn't lie, Gabriel Morenci. Defensively, he got torched. His outside shooting, really, really a big challenge, just the way he takes his three-point shot. Listen, if they think he's going to revolutionize basketball like Michael Jordan, I mean, like, let's take it easy. I mean, a lot of respect for Jay Williams, but guys, I mean, I talk to a lot of NCAA coaches. I'm on some group chats, some Laker fans. I mean, great. I mean, he finds open guys. I mean, that's what a point guard is supposed to do, but can he get into the lane? Can he finish himself? Can he shoot the three ball? No. Can guys go by him defensively? Yes. It's going to be a problem. I'll be curious if they sign Rajon Rondo, because if they put him 42, 43 minutes, he's going to get badly exposed in his first year in the NBA game.
Yeah, I know. They're going to have to protect him, and it's going to be an interesting situation because he's hyped like a superstar, yet let's be real. It's sort of like the Rams last year with Jared Goff. He was the first overall pick, but they were like, he's not better than our third-string guy. We can't play him. Like, so, but it's going to be tough. They're going to have to play him, and he's going to get exposed. And then his conf, like, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. So a guy, though, that everybody's raving about, And, you know, he doesn't have the most points per game. There's some vet guys and journeyman guys that are dropping 28 a game and stuff. But as far as the kids, Dennis Smith, Jr., NC State, Maverick said this was our guy. We wanted this guy. We got him. Like, no joke. Supposedly the Mavericks, like, exploded in the war room when they found out they were getting him. They're like, this is awesome. This is our future scorer after Dirk Nowitzki. This is our guy. And everybody's raving. Listen, it's only been three games, but everybody's raving about this kid and his aggression, his confidence, his explosiveness, his scoring ability, his mental demeanor. Like I said, Dennis Smith is the star of the summer league.
Yeah, listen, you just mentioned all the attributes that I wanted to say about him, Gabe. You stole my thunder here a little bit. But, yes, explosive, mentally tough. He's playing with a chip on his shoulder. He can get to the rim. He could shoot the three. He could defend. He's physical. And he has this demeanor about him that, hey, he wants what's his. He's the perfect fit for Dallas and their head coach, Rick Carlisle. He doesn't want no BS. He doesn't want him tweeting too much. He wants him focused to being a consummate professional. They're not going to give him the keys to the franchise right yet, but he's playing with a guy with Dirk Nowitzki. He's going to show him the right way. And when we look at this draft class, Gabe, you know, we talked about Fultz. We talked about Lonzo Ball. We talked about De'Aaron Fox. Dennis Smith was part of that four top point guards throughout the season at NC State. I mean, we saw him dominate the ACC, but then he sort of fell off in the draft, and the Knicks, Phil Jackson, was no longer there. They take the kid, Frank Ntilikina from France, ahead of Dennis Smith. He wasn't happy. I mean, the Knicks, can they get more dysfunctional than they are already? They're going to, I hope this kid ends up being potentially the next Tony Parker. But if he's not, man, Dennis Smith, and again, I'm not a big summer league guy. I don't look at statistics, but just the way he's playing and the way he fits in, and you could see he's the best player on the court whenever he steps on. And that's what you need when you're drafting a superstar and you're drafting a guy in the top 10 in the lottery pick. I absolutely love Dennis Smith's potential. He's going to help Dallas immediately for the Mavs this season.
People really only focus on the Vegas league because it's sexier, but they're playing in Orlando as well. They played five games there already, and Luke Kennard actually shooting 47.8% from the three-point line, 11 to 23. They say that he looks like an NBA starter already with his demeanor and his basketball IQ, but we've only got about a minute and a half here. So, you know, this trade kind of flew under the radar, man. You know, good for Corey Joseph. He's worked his way into a player. Now he's going to get some minutes. You know, he's not, you know, just always a token guy in his hometown. And then conversely, we talked about it. The Raptors need to shoot the three. And Masai recognizes this, and he goes out and he gets a top-tier three-point shooter in C.J. Miles. For the record, C.J. Miles had a better three-point shooting percentage this last year than Steph Curry did. He had basically the same percentage as Klay Thompson did. He was technically the 15th top three-point shooter. But look, Otto Porter, 13 points a game, hits 43% of his threes, just got a max contract. C.J. Miles scores 10 points a game, nearly 11, hits 41% of his threes. Raptors are paying him $7 million. That's good general managing by Masai.
Yeah, I'd have to echo those sentiments. And when you look at C.J. Miles, you're talking about a consummate professional. You're talking about the ultimate professional worker. He's a guy that understands his role. He understands what it means to be in the NBA. He's a specialist. He could shoot the three ball. He's got good size. He's got good length. He'll understand his role. He'll appreciate his role. I think he's exactly what the Raptors need. As you mentioned, they had a need for three-point shooting. Corey Joseph did what he was supposed to do when they acquired him from San Antonio, 3 years, $21 million. It was a good deal. He did what he had to do playing behind Kyle Lowry, but they drafted DeLon Wright in the first round. I think it's time for DeLon to get that opportunity to be the backup. Bigger size, a little bit more upside. They got Fred VanVleet as the third string, so I think they're set at the point guard position. They got a need that they needed. They got a guy, CJ, that's been around. I think this is what the Raptors could take to the next level. Again, they have to play around with their roster a little bit, and we see that. Man, you got rid of Demari Carroll, $15 million per season, and you get C.J. Miles. Outstanding. I think the Raptors hit it well. Let's see what DeLon Wright could do, and it's going to be an opportunity for some of these younger guys too.
I like DeLon. We got to get out of here, Pete, but I like DeLon Wright. I want to see him get a little bit more aggressive, shoot more, take it to the rack because he's athletic and he can take it to the rack with his size. We got
to
get out of here. Always a pleasure, Pete. Thanks. Pete,
all right, Annapolis. Talk to you soon, fellas.
Pete Annapolis. We'll just take a quick break. We'll come back with our plays of the day.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
All right, we got to be quick with our plays of the day, but that's okay because there's not a hell of a lot going on. But there is Gold Cup soccer going on. Panama! Panama is going to get it done. I think they win at least 2-0 against Nicaragua. The Mercury are hot. Brittany Griner's been killing it. Latest 7.5. Let's go over 160. May the winners be yours.